We've made it through many things. We've made it through the winter storms. It looks like we have one more winter storm on the way. And we're going to make it through that too. We're going to make it through a lot of things. And we just, that's the idea of being a believer, is that your God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, and that you never let yourself say, I can't do that. I'm not going to make it. You never let yourself say that. You know, I still don't believe that I was close to death when I had my problem here in December. I just don't look at life that way. I'm going to go on. I'll let you know when it's my time to go. I will let you know. But it's not yet. And God is a great God. And we need to learn. You're going to hear this a lot. You need to learn how to pray and practice the promises of God. That is your highest reality and truth, is the promises of God. Not your current situation. Because if it's not good, it's changing. It's going to line up with the Word of God. And that's just the truth. Over 7,500 promises to mankind, over 8,500 promises to, including that, to the earth. Learn the promises of God. Learn to pray the promises of God. Amen? And you got to just keep going unless something tells you that it's time to leave this life. I'm so glad my wife is here, and she's going to be on this microphone. Sweetie, why don't you stand up with that mic and come on up here with me? And we would like to know if anybody has anything they want to say, a prayer request, anything.
Don't raise your hands all at once.
Yes. Amen. God is answering prayer. And Millie is going to preach this Sunday night. She has been working on it for weeks. So I'm glad that she's going to be doing it. Nobody needs any prayer. Nobody wants to say anything. Why don't you go over there by that young lady over there? Who is this?
It's Dana Casey from Midway. And it paralyzed him on one side. And they did surgery, and then it paralyzed him from his waist down. But they're hoping he gets better. They brought him home, and now they've got him into a rehab. He's going to a rehab in Russellville. Amen. And he's just...
Millie, put that microphone up where we can hear her better.
He's about, I'm going to say he's probably 60, or maybe not even 60 yet.
Dana Case?
Dana Case. Uh-huh.
Dana Case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's pray for him. Millie, pray for Dana that took that fall during the snowstorm.
Amen. Father, we just pray for Mr. Case, Father. Father, that you touch his body, Father, for that inflammation around his spinal cord, that it would go down, and that he's able to walk and have full function again of all his extremities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, one thing you learn as you get just a little bit older is you learn to watch your step, and you think about it more. I think about it more now. I think I took, I don't know how many falls I took, Billy. Several falls, and it caused this fluid to be on my brain, and so it was really something. So you, even if you're younger, you don't want to fall. Falls are not good. They really aren't. Anybody else have anything that they want to say tonight? A testimony or a prayer or a question about the Bible? I can answer any question about the Bible. I'm not trying to be arrogant.
I get to go to a quiz bowl tournament for GT on Monday.
Praise God.
And I need prayers that I can do good at it.
Yeah. Amen.
Father, we just thank you that you've anointed this boy, Father, with with a good mind, and he's going to do well at Quiz Bowl. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Anyone else want to say something?
When I got that steroid shot,
it
has given me an allergic reaction. It's like broke. Yes. Can we pray that goes away?
Father, I pray right now for this allergic reaction that Keisha has from the steroid shot, Father, that we don't have to wait for it to run its course, Father, that it goes away, it starts going away immediately. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Anyone else have anything they want to say?
I got a funny story. You guys want to hear a funny
story? Yes, I do. Did I already hear it?
Oh, you experienced it.
Oh, God.
You experienced it.
In other words, you're going to tell something funny about me. I'm going to sit down.
March 17th, many years ago, Angelo and I were on a date. We weren't married yet. That is St. Patrick's Day. And we were standing in line to watch The Sting. The Sting. The first showing of The Sting. You know, with Robert Redford in there, way back when. We're standing in line, and a streaker runs up to me. Oh, my God.
And he was naked.
He was completely
He didn't even have naked. A hat on.
I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. And so Angelo, his back was towards me, and I just took my head and buried it in his back. And I said, tell him to go away. Go away. So he did.
He had a green garter that we kept for years. I thought it was hilarious. It said, kiss me, I'm Irish. And he picked the right person to shock. Millie was just shocked.
Yeah. Well, that's how, when you went out with Angelo, it was like something always happened. The other day we went out of honey together, and he goes down this steep hill, and all I can say is, help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me, please. But he's always been that way. I've never known what to expect from him. But God is good, and we've been together going on 48 years.
48 years.
But we're not the oldest ones.
Jack and Rocky have been married 60 years, if I'm not mistaken. So that's wonderful.
God. Amen.
Love can last for a lifetime. But I believe there's certain things that you got to do to have that happen, and sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, we have to realize something in this day and age. This is the last times. Everything that can be broken up and shaken up and messed up is being it. And there may be people, even in this small crowd, I don't know everybody, if you're in a bad relationship, you don't need to. There are scriptural reasons to get a divorce, and then there's scripture reasons in some cases to keep working on it, and only you can know what that is in your life. But we love you. We're just committed here to help you, and if you're not in a relationship and you want to be in a relationship, I want your next relationship to be your last, your final relationship that'll be good for you and good for your partner. Amen? I believe in that. I have told the story many times about Millie and I, and the Lord told me to marry Millie. I was very young, but I heard the Lord's voice, and you can be sure about this. If God tells you anything, and he tells you to do something, you want to do it. You want to do it. And there are many variables. We understand that. But this is the last days. And we want this to be a place where people feel comfortable and loved no matter what their situation is. We want to love people. We want to reach out to people that are being abused. The church, I know for years, I didn't know what to do with abuse. I just carried it in prayer. But I didn't know what to do really, because I didn't want to confront some things. I just didn't, as a pastor. But that's changing. I see that. That's not the best. And we want you to reach out to Pastor Kelly or Sister Millie or myself, or if we can help you, we want to help you. Now, I'm going to say this. We can't help everybody, maybe, but we can sure try. We can try to help you. I think that's what's important. Will anybody else say anything for this service? Millie, Sam's got his hand. Just go on up there.
When I woke up this morning, I had Mr. Castro and his wife that Dwayne worked for on my heart. So I put them together a box of food, and I got a few things and put in it. I think we gave them some hamburger meat or some deer meat or something. And coming back from a videotape in a house, you know, in Delaware, I stopped by their house. He told me his wife had a stroke, but she has recovered from the stroke. She had a little tingling, and she's getting around. It's not like it didn't debilitate her. But I remember we prayed for her. I think Dwayne even mentioned her, and we had prayer for her. But I told him that I woke up, and me and him talked for a while, and you had a nice visit. You know, I believe those are God's good people on the face of the earth. And he asked me how Dwayne was, and I said, Dwayne's staying pretty busy, even when he don't want to be busy. I mean, me and him have been doing a few things. So he said that he was going to probably fix that house up still and wanted to rent it or something. So I think he still got you in mind on that project still. So don't. But I just want prayer for them. And ever since I had COVID last year, it's like I used to be tired when I came home from work. But I get tired going to work now. And
you know, I'm not sure about a lot of things. But yeah. I'm going to say this here, Sam. I took both shots for the vaccine plus the booster. And I believe sometimes medicine is good. That's a personal choice for everybody. But that's the choice that I took. But I'm going to share this with you. I wonder if there isn't some kind of after effects.
Yeah.
Because I felt more tired than ever before. But you've got to – let me say something right here, and then we need to pray for Mr. Castro.
Yeah.
And this, I want you to understand the vision and the strategy of this church. We believe in the divine touch of the Lord. And those of you that have been here, you've seen people miraculously healed just in a moment. But we also believe in medicine. We are not against medicine because from Genesis to the end in the New Testament, medicine is spoken of. And I currently take medicine for sugar problem in my life. But I believe that you can have an attitude of worship, an attitude of the word in your life, and you'll live longer. That, again, that's your choice. Some people do not want to take medicine, and that's really their choice. But I want you to know that the stand that this ministry has is that we leave that choice up to you. And I believe there's a medicine that I have to get from Canada because it's the cheapest place I can find it, and it's helping to keep my blood sugar where it needs to be. Now, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they carried what they call balm in the King James. That was medicine. So we try to do everything and line everything up with the word of God. We're word people here. We want you to be word people because that's the best life. The promises of God are for you. The promises of God are yea and amen to everybody that believes. And I want you to believe in the power of God. Come on in here, sweetie. My mishap that I had in December, I told him I feel great, and I was ready to go home. And I said, oh, you won't be going home for a long time. I said, no, I'm going to be going home. And so they put me to the test. And one of the things they did, they got a therapist to come and walk with me. And I walked to that poor fella that just got tired and had to sit down. And I've got an attitude of health, blessing, and that in anything that happens, I'm coming up on top. But I learned that from discovering and praying the word of God. Does anybody feel cheated? Because I've got a word. Is it that we're talking about this and sharing the vision here? And I believe in the power of prayer. We've seen it here over and over. One of the things that I'm rather sad about, there was a young lady that was coming here. She came a few services, and she just passed away. I can't explain that. I don't know those people. And but a very young person, and we're helping them all we can. I just want you to know that. We love them. We're reaching out to them and helping them. And Sam, just go on.
Well, and Mr. Castro had his third vaccine. He told me he only slept an hour. So I think it was good to pop in on him. And I let him know we were praying for him and his wife. I woke up with these people on my heart, so I knew I was supposed to do something. And I put them together a package out here. And I don't care who you are or how much you got. If you get a package of food and you've been to the grocery store lately, somebody's going to love you for bringing that package of food. I mean, they were grateful for it. And Sister Mill reminded me we need to pray for Brenda. But I don't like feeling tired, you know. I don't.
No.
I mean, because I got a lot of things to do. I got a lot of places to go. The second thing that happened to me this morning is Cindy's older daughter started asking me questions about the Bible and what book should she read or she was going to read. And, of course, I told her the book of John. And she's got a book about forgiving things that you can't forget. And she ain't talking to her mom, but, you know, I think one of the things that she holds grudges against is Cindy wasn't there when she was young and she was raised by her other family. And, you know, she's came and then she didn't even come at this Christmas. So I'm hoping she's trying to forgive her mom, you know.
You know, Sam, we cannot afford the luxury of harboring unforgiveness in our life. We
Amen.
Cannot because you're the one in bondage. I don't know about the responsible party, but at least you're in bondage.
Yeah.
We have to get over that. And we're believers. And, you know, one of the things I thought about sharing was the astronomical prices of everything is going up. But let me tell you something. I've been young, and now I'm on Social Security. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. I'm going through, and I'm not going through broke, just eating saltine crackers and drinking Dasani water. I'm going to have better than that. That's what I believe, and I'm going to have enough to give to others. That's the impetus of this church. That's why, probably by this fall, we've just received a huge grant, the largest grant in Arkansas to build the new Manna Center. We've got the land. Now listen, there's a Manna Center God wants to give every one of you. Every one of you. God wants to bless you. God never blessed me because I was a preacher. God blessed me because I was a believer. And I studied the contract. I read the red letters. I found out what was mine and what I could make a demand in this life on. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful life. If I died today, it's a wonderful life. I've been saved since 1971. So that's many, see, that's 30, 20, 51 years, I think. Something like that. And I love the Lord. I love him. I don't serve him because I'm getting paid to. I serve him because I love him. I don't, and I love him more than I fear him. But I fear him too. He means business. He means for us to get where we need to be in life. Can I get an amen on that? And we are for you, no matter how flaky you are. We are for you. We love you. We're going to be patient with you. We're not going to try to force feed you something you don't want. But you will see the demonstration of believers in this church. You'll see that you don't have to be broke because somebody else is broke. You don't have to be sick because somebody else is sick. There is a God who's alive and he has miraculous power and he's willing. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. Looking for somebody to bless. Looking for somebody to show himself mighty through. When I walked out of that hospital, every nurse, registered nurse that took care of me, there were about five of them, they couldn't believe it. The doctors couldn't believe it. You know what it was? It was like, I think we're just going to have to let this guy go. Now, that's a true story. That's a true story. One person got saved there. God used me. Look here. Every day is a day for me to lead somebody to Christ. Let me tell you, every person in this room is a soul winner if you'll turn that loose inside of you. There's nothing more important in this final hour than to get people saved for God's sake and then get them in church and then turn them into believers that can stand on their own two feet. Amen? So if you're wondering what we're trying to do as the ministry here, Pastor Kelly and the rest of all the deacons, all the other leaders and the teachers, we're trying to bless you. We're trying to make you strong and equip you with the truth, which will take you up and over. Amen. I'm so proud of Keisha. Amen. It hasn't been easy for her since I've known her. But she's coming to a place where she's getting stronger, where she's seeing you don't have to be a statistic of failure. The same with Dwayne over there and all of you. I'm proud of all of you. But Sam, go ahead and pray for Mr. Castro. I met him. I love him. He's a good fella. Amen. He's blessing people. He's got blessings on his life, and he wants to share them with other Christian people.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I send that healing word to Mrs. Castro and Mr. Castro. Help him to sleep tonight from the side effects of the vaccine, and help his wife to fully recover, and that they would nothing missing, nothing lacking in their life, in their health, in their marriage, Lord. Continue blessing them like never before. Father, I pray for Sister Brenda for a total recovery, Lord. Touch her in her body, just like Miss Castro got to regain the use of that side. Cause Brenda to regain the use of her side. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over this service, and we thank you, God, for your presence here even now. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready for a word from the Word? Are you ready for a little bit of the Word? If you would, go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin there tonight. And I'm going to make comments on the first murder in the Bible. Boy, we didn't do too hot. We only got to Genesis, chapter 4, before we really started messing up, where Cain murdered his own brother, Abel. And God had something to say to Cain. God was trying to help Cain. God marked Cain. And Cain decided to be a smart aleck to God. When God said, Cain, where is your brother? He said, I don't know, Mom. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer is yes, you are. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. We have to try to help one another. That's the basis of Christianity, is people getting together of like faith and helping one another, if we can, and forgiving one another. Reading from Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. This is God talking to Cain. He was upset. His brother Cain was a farmer, and he brought his best and presented to the Lord in an offering. Cain was a keeper of flocks. I'm sorry, Abel was a keeper of flocks, and he brought his best. And God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's. And God speaks to mankind in verse 6 and says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. Take this very personally tonight, every one of us. I know when I'm in trouble, when I can see other people's sins clearer than my own. You have got to look at yourself. Shake yourself and do the right thing for God's sake. Can I get an amen here? Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you. See, that's the problem with sin. Whoever you yield yourself to, you become their servant. If you, and their slave, if you yield yourself to God, that's a good thing. You'll have a passion for God. If you yield yourself to sin, and there's so many, you're going to get in trouble. You're not going to go on as best as you could if you do that. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it, and you must be its master. We have got to learn how to master sin in our lives. And you have to understand, most of this Bible is written to believers, not to lost people. I was very unhappy to find I could still sin when I got saved when I was 19 years old at 1765 Cathay Drive on the east side of San Jose, California, in the summer of 1971. I could still sin. And then I began to realize I was going to have to look a little deeper. And I got away and I got rid of all my friends. I did not address my enemies. And I bought a red leather living Bible. And I read that Bible and read it until that Bible began to read me. And I began to realize, this is what I want to give my life to. This is the one I want to serve. Nobody has ever treated me better than God. But each one of us has to deal with sin in our lives at times. We just do. And you know that there is a problem if you can see your neighbor's sin better than your own. It becomes, and I've been guilty of that. And that's the wrong way to go. Well, we must subdue sin. We must master it. And there's you can't teach everything about this in 15 minutes. But we're going to talk about one aspect of it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. And this is the Apostle Paul, a seasoned apostle, not a young man at this time. And he asks a very, very important question. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, you know we have this is beautiful. Well, we can put this up here. But I'm going to challenge you to bring your Bible to church. I'm going to challenge you to get to know your Bible. It is your lifeblood in this life. And get the translation that's best for you. And if you have a smartphone, you are a theologian. You no longer need, I have books upon books, rooms full of books on how to study. And I used to have to, now you just take that telephone. You can find out what that word means in the Greek. If you're in the Old Testament, you can find out what it means in the Hebrew or the Chaldee. You can be very precise and you can learn and you can grow. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 8:31 says this in 32. If you continue in my word, then you're really my disciples. And that means if you don't, you're not his disciples. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Boy, there should be one amen in here somewhere. And I'm just excited. I'm not anything else. So, and the apostle says this here in John 7:15. I don't really understand myself. You know, I found that to be true. I have to work at understanding myself, and I sure cannot understand you. But I can make a little headway on myself if I block everything else out. Be kind to everybody. Don't try to help anybody that doesn't ask you for help. Jesus never did. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I've had that happen to me. And when that starts happening, and it happens two or three times in a row, I get a hold of myself. And I've got to say, what am I doing wrong? And I have to make myself open before God. The best thing you can do, don't do what Adam and Eve did. When you are wrong, run to God. It is the safest, best place. He will forgive you and cleanse you if you let him. John just went back and forth. I'm sorry. Paul went back and forth on this, and he expounded on it. You can read chapter 7, I think chapter 6 also. But he said, I don't understand myself. And I have to say, there is times I don't understand myself. And it's times when I really do wrong that I shouldn't do. And I've done things I shouldn't have done. So have you. So let's just not. And, you know, that's how you grow. He that covereth his sin will not prosper. But he that confesses and turns away from it will prosper. Find repentance, forgiveness, and blessing. You know, if you're in a sin and if you don't get out of it, if you're practicing any kind of sin, after a little bit, you can't give your way out of it. You can't tithe your way out of it. God's going to correct you because he doesn't want to have to send you to the lake of fire at the end of all things. He says, I scourge and I chastise everybody that I love. And we'll be getting there in just a moment. If we can, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. I'm sharing a message on we better get real and be real with God and with ourselves. I said this for many years in this church. I quote Shakespeare. To thine own self be true. One of the signs of the last days is people not only will deceive others, but they'll deceive themselves. They're self-deceived. And they justify things that are wrong. In just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him the truth. And I'm not saying that everybody has to sin every day. Please don't think that. I'm saying we have a tempter. We have an enemy. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may destroy and devour your life. And it doesn't have to be that way. You have more power than the devil if we know how to use it, if we can learn how to use it. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That is one of the great signs of the last days. People deceiving themselves. I've seen people do, man, there's nothing wrong with me. Don't be looking at me. Let's talk about that other person. Well, let's pray for that other person, and let's be real. You ever hear Pastor Kelly? We like to keep it real here. We've done that for all that this has been a church. And it's high time we're going to go deeper in that, and we're not going to let people come in here hurting and walk out of here hurting and abused. We're not going to put it under the rug. We're going to help people if we can, if we possibly can. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And here it is, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I found it as a child in my first year of being born again. And I confessed my way out of a lot of terrible stuff that I was involved with. I just confessed because if we confess our sins, it's talking before God. God is faithful. That means he'll do it for anybody. Anybody in here tonight, that when they get on their knees, if they'll be real with God, if there's something that shouldn't be, if you bring it up, he's going to do something about it. Well, the first thing he's going to do, he is going to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The beginning, one of the chief things that you've got to do to overcome a fault is stop covering it up. And you don't have to confess it to everybody. Confess it to God, your maker, your healer, your savior, your blesser. Something on judgment day when we meet the devil, according to Isaiah 14, we're going to say, it's just a little peon that deceived the nations. But when we see God, oh my God, whew, he'll go like this, and he'll bring up what we did. And he'll go like this again, and he'll show what we were thinking when we did that. That's the awesome God that you have. And if you can learn to just work with him, you'll love him more than you fear him, because you begin to cooperate with him. When a person begins to cooperate with God, they're going to go somewhere. Amen? Final place tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. We're in a communion service. And we've got that up there. And this is what the word says. And this is why we have communion in this church. It is a power, a must for people. Some of the great Smith Wigglesworth took communion every day. The Wesley brothers took it two or three times a day. The ones that brought the great Methodist revival to America. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's why we ask you to do that. And then let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And the word says, if we would judge ourselves here in Corinthians, then God won't have to judge us. But if we, as his children, now I'm not talking about lost people, but as his children, if we don't get this straight, he's going to have, you know what, you're not doing your children any good by letting them do whatever they want and explore whatever. Children need to be guided. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, that's not politically correct these days, but that's just the truth as I see it. And I want to give you a moment. I want to ask you to come to this altar or make an altar where you are. Now, if you can't kneel down because you're hurting, I understand. But have a real moment. Let a man examine himself, and then let him eat and drink communion. Be honest. If there's something that shouldn't be there, for gosh sakes, get rid of it by confessing it